right, Craig Stewart.
Okay, we're recording.
All right, Craig there. Tatiana. Tina. Ann. Ken. Joe Jacobson.
I'm here.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
And Michael. Michael here?
Tatiana.
Hi, Tatiana.
How are you?
Congratulations.
I still want a baby?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you know, I haven't seen you since that, so.
No, it's true.
Is she there?
Yeah,
she there.
I'm sitting here. I'm sitting here on my kitchen table.
Okay. Sarah's here with as well.
Sarah, you got anyone sleeping at your place?
Hello. Ann's here.
Hi, Ann.
Hi, Ed.
I'm just waiting for a few more.
Hello, somebody just joined us.
That's Ken Warren, right?
Right.
Hi.
Hi.
All right, so it's Ken, Lori, and Deidre?
Yes.
Yes, hi.
All right, we're waiting for the UCSD people, the informatics people, and Michael Charnas.
Hey.
And no one had any trouble using this service?
No, we're
people had
correct.
Trouble aren't on.
All right. And, well, I'll just warn everybody, this is all being recorded.
Good.
And will be placed on the internet for you to review.
Listen to you.
As a WAV file, so we're going high tech in an effort to try to enhance our communication. All right, but we're still waiting. All right. All right, well, why don't we...
Somebody.
Here's someone.
Hi, me, Ed. Michael.
Hi, Michael. I knew it was you. We're just waiting for Craig Stewart and the UCSD folks.
We're on.
Tina?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm Ken.
Ken, hi.
Hi.
All right, well, why don't we... start, and I'm going to just read your name so that it's on the record, because as I was mentioning, this is all being recorded for subsequent review. So the people that I have a list of who's supposed to be here, Craig Stewart, Feng Zhao,
here,
Elizabeth Sal,
here,
Charlie Goodlett,
here,
Tatiana Farood,
here,
Elizabeth Moore,
here,
Tina Chambers,
here,
Ann Streiska?
Here.
Sarah Mattson?
Here.
Ken Jones?
Here.
Joe Jacobson?
Here.
Michael Charnas?
Here.
Elizabeth Sal?
Here.
I said her already.
You did.
Ken Warren?
Here.
Lori Fowden?
Here.
Deidre Roach?
Here.
And Ed Riley. And so we'll just go ahead and if Craig comes on, we'll know with his beep. And Madre Hogan's here as well.
Sandy Jacobson will be on in about 15 minutes. She's tied up in another meeting.
All right.
And I'll have to leave early. It's Ann.
All right. So basically, we have not spoken in a little while, and so it was felt that we should get together and kind of update our projects and to discuss some of the things that I sent on the agenda. And so we can start with the individual project updates. The first one I have is on Tina Chambers. And any progress that's been made or any problems that you've encountered that you think the rest of the individuals should know about? Tina?
I don't know, I can't remember what we discussed on the last call, but we're moving ahead. The business that was holding us up in Russia getting approval from the Science and Technology Commission has been resolved, and the first year's money is with the civilian research group in Moscow, and the Moscow investigators are now drawing out the money and setting up the project on that end. The program assistant Ludmila Bakareva happened to be over there at an HIV meeting last month, and so she met with them and worked with the person who's been selected to be the data manager to get him organized, setting up what he's going to do with the data entry process. And so we're still just trying to resolve the final issues regarding the questionnaire and the screening instrument, working with the bioinformatics core to get that completed, and to resolve the issues related to the infant testing battery and the schedule for testing.
Right. You and I can talk about the infant assessment battery afterwards, Tina, correct? Because I have some information on that.
That's fine.
All right. We'll come back. Maybe Sandy will be with us by the time. Unless, Joe, you want to do that?
No, that's okay. I think
you want to wait for her.
Better to wait.
Okay. Sarah had to just leave with the baby.
I'm here.
Oh, she's here. All right. So the FASD in San Diego and Moscow.
Let's see. We have been working on the – can I also address the neurobehavioral core at the same time?
No.
No? Absence of that information, we started to collect data on the neuropsychological test battery, and we've tested about 12 people, and that we've been working out the bugs on that, which, of course, I'll discuss when I can discuss the neurobehavioral core. But it's going very well. We're hoping to collect the imaging information, or we're hoping to collect imaging data at the end of October. We're working on our IRB issues, and I'm sure Elizabeth will tell us about a little bit more about that, but she's going to be down here for neuroscience. And so I think overall it's going very well in San Diego. In Finland, I didn't receive their update, unfortunately, but they had already started doing their dysmorphology evaluations, and they're back from their summer holiday, and they're starting to work again. In Russia, they are also back from their summer holiday, and Galina just had heart surgery, so she's unfortunately out of commission. She's doing fine from what I understand, but they are working on the contracts. I did just receive a request from the CRDF to release funds, so I know that it's moving forward on that front. And they have received all of their ethical permission, so that's a big step forward for us. And so they're going to hopefully start collecting data pretty soon, too. I think that's everything.
All right. For those of you who don't know, the CRDRF is the civilian organization that funnels the money into Moscow, and it makes things a lot easier than using ATM withdrawals. I did not, Phil May's in South Africa, and I did not hear back from him or anyone from his group about participating, so we have no information on that.
Yeah, I spoke with him this morning. He called me. He said things are going well, but I did not get most of the details, so we'll wait till he comes back. But he said he had he made very significant progress there.
Okay, good. Within the basic science projects, Michael and Charlie, do you want to bring us up to date?
Michael, you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Since RSA, we've mostly done some planning and initiation of a couple of new projects that Fung and I have talked about. From the mouse side, and I'll let Fung maybe elaborate a little bit more, but we had a meeting, it was actually about 10 days ago, with Mark Stanton came here, and we have established the procedure to begin the neonatal ethanol exposures in the mice to begin looking at whether we can have protection. First of all, we get the ethanol effects that are predicted and get protection with the neuroprotective peptides. We expect to get the first data, depending on when we get the dosing started, but if we get the dosing on those animals started in October, we'll get the data back initially at the December or early January, hopefully in time for an RSA abstract. One of the really interesting things about the mouse projects, though, is that we know that if LNAP is going to work, it's most likely to work in the, and it does work, in the prenatal exposure model. And we hadn't really established a means to look at the long-term behavioral and the long-term behavioral protection that might result from that. We know that it protects the embryonic brain, however. In talking with Mark, there is a clear opportunity for us to take advantage of a NIH-funded center that is established specifically to do a high-throughput behavioral screening. This is a center called the Neurogenetics and Behavioral Center at Johns Hopkins. Michaela Gallagher is the PI on that. Mark is a co-investigator along with Peter Holland. What we need to do is write a proposal, a brief proposal, saying what this is, what the project is about, and why a high-throughput behavioral screening of the treated mice would be beneficial to our effort. I'm hopeful, if not confident, but I'm hopeful that this is something that we can get an agreement on in the next month or two, and set it up so that we can produce the animals, including the LNAP treated animals, and have them sent to the laboratory there that's at Johns Hopkins for the behavioral screening. There are a number of different tasks that we can ask for, and we'll consult about that before we make the final decision, assuming that goes through. So that's something I think that will be very useful for the prenatal mouse model. And on my side, on the rats, we're in the process of doing some cell counts that we talked about last time, but they're not completed.
So that behavioral assessment, that would be very significant. So that's good luck with that.
That's the most exciting thing that I found out in a while. So I really hope that that works. The last thing I'd want to mention, and I don't know, Ed, whether you were in on this or not, I have had discussions with Jennifer Thomas. She has, as many of you know, a choline treatment that's given after the neonatal exposure in rats that has proven to be effective in improving the behavioral outcomes in her model. And this is likely to be a function of some way protecting some of the hippocampal dependent deficits that emerge developmentally after the alcohol exposure. Jennifer and I have talked about a means to incorporate that model into some of the work that we're doing here, and that'll involve some additional discussion, I think, Ed, about how that'll get done. But I'm pretty confident that we can do that.
For the music.
Besides the music, was using Jennifer's paradigm, is that going to be with the choline or just using the assessment she uses?
With the choline.
Or the choline. That's because she's got some positive data that it does help, and we can expand that, I think, substantially using the trace conditioning paradigms that we have here.
And that's something that could potentially be clinically relevant, you know. So
it can translate right into a human population if there's reason to do so.
Okay. Michael?
We're continuing the work that we reported in June, trying to characterize a binding site for NAP, alcohol agonists and antagonists on L1. We're at a phase now where we're continuing to work with already purified L1 and ramping up our own purification process. We're also doing the preparatory work with magnetic resonance spectroscopy to begin to identify individual amino acids that might be labeled. And we're at a phase now, probably will be for another month or so, just working out the technical details to do that for this particular project and the quantities of material that we have.
Okay. Fung, did you want to say?
We're continuing working on the prenatal treatment model with mouse. The data we have shown in June with the cell treatment for the corrected the body weight loss, brain weight loss, and the neural tube closure Those data has been sent it out for Journal of Molecular Neuroscience and has been accepted for publication. We'll continue working on the, in addition to the cell, working on NAP at this point to see if it has a similar effect on these regions for prenatal models. We'll continue to look into, in addition to the treatment for the microencephaly and namely those brain weight and the brain size changes and the brain area, cortical thickness, those things. We move on, also looking, beginning to look at the number of serotonin neurons we plant. That will take probably quite a number of months to finish the calculations. For the postnatal model that we, as we met last time, we did not see the effect. However, we'll continue to change a little bit paradigm to give a longer treatment of NAPA cells with the 1 day or 2 days alcohol exposure to see whether it takes longer period of the treatment than single day treatment would that be, have any effect? Because in my mind that the with 1 day NAPA cell treatment it may be too short for this in vivo condition. So that is a plan, and we are yet to go into to look at the effect. That's what I have at this point.
Okay. Sandy there yet or no?
No, any minute, but not there yet. Do you want me just to give you an overview of where we are?
That's all right. Why don't we do the the pilot core before Ann has to leave? Anne, do you want to tell us about your project?
Sure. We're continuing to see babies. We've located a new source and have a new IRB permission to get new babies from a different hospital. And so that's been going well. And we've just completed a complicated IRB process to get permission to examine babies who are not in maternal care, who have been in the foster care system. That was very complicated and extensive, and I guess we're the first people that have ever done that. They told us it was impossible, and we argued that for this population it was ridiculous to say it was impossible because it was sometimes necessary. So we've worked that through. We've seen, I think, seven new babies, and we're going to continue to try to seeing the babies into the current period to try and get as many more as we can. And I'm hoping to meet an October 15th deadline for a small grant to bring to get enough money to bring Ken up to and to have an outreach worker bring our kids in and to pay the mothers so that we can have a Ken Jones evaluation, dysmorphology evaluation of the children we've seen.
And you have an R01 in on this now, right?
We have an R01 we should hear in January, yeah.
Okay. All right. Luther, are you there? Did he join us? No?
Oh, that was Sandy joined us.
All right.
Hi.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Anne. That was very interesting.
Let's just finish the pilot since Ken Jones.
Yep.
What's going on in Ukraine?
Yeah, we are about to be able to finally say that we've gotten the money over there to them successfully in Kyiv to start ascertaining patients, and hopefully within the next month or so that will begin, and they are very hopeful of being able to have ascertained all the patients that were all the subjects by the end of the spring, and we are going over to Ukraine again in late November, early December to complete any or tie up any loose ends as far as ascertaining the patients are concerned and getting the physical examinations done, and then we'll be going back again at the beginning of or not the beginning of, but in the middle of the spring to start seeing the kids that have been born.
Okay. All right, Sandy?
Hi.
Hi, do you want to just give us an update on what's going on?
In Cape Town, it's not a pilot study.
No, we're done with the pilot, so.
Okay. Yeah, in Cape Town, what we've done is we've set up our five-year follow-up of the children who were seen originally when they were infants in our prospective study. And we've seen to date, I think, 17 children. We are administering those tests. First of all, we got everybody trained. We got the equipment there. We got what we needed. We got the material translated. And we have the testing ongoing, and we've included those tests from the battery that overlap but were appropriate that we could give to five-year-olds.
Okay. So you think things are going progressing okay then?
I think things are progressing very well. However, as I emailed you earlier today, there are some, some of the funding problems in that, the RAND is stronger than it was relative to the dollar, so that what we had originally estimated falls short of what we would need.
Okay. All right. So
otherwise, I think things are going very well. You know, it's the usual tweaking so that, you know, the things are moving smoothly and that, that things are, but I think it's going fine.
Okay.
We need to follow up with Ken and I think Hoimi or Luther about somebody when they're going to come to Cape Town so that we can organize the dysmorphology evaluation.
We're going to hear.
In the meantime, Nat Coley is doing the preliminary dysmorphic exam, and then we will have the children, we will be able to progress and have the children seen when, say, Hoimi or Luther or Ken, whoever it is that will come to Cape Town, and we'll set something up to go to everyone.
All right, we're going
to have to do that still.
We're going to go through the cores now, and so maybe you'll get some information regarding future visits.
Thank you.
Do you want to start, Ken, with the dispatch?
Sure, I'd be happy to. As far as future visits are concerned relative to the dysmorphology core, I think that to a great extent, I mean completely, that is dependent upon the PI of the individual grants to get in touch with me and say we've got such and such, we are ready to have you come, what is the time when we can set it up that's good for you and is good for us, and I would be happy to respond as soon as I get any contact like that. The pilot study in Rome I have already reported to you on, and that went very successfully. Gene study in Helsinki has gone very well, and he has seen a number of children over there. We are going to Moscow to look. We've already looked at a number of babies in the Moscow, or not babies, but children in the Moscow study from the boarding schools and orphanages. And as more children are admitted to those facilities, more new children are admitted to those facilities, we'll see them. As soon as babies are born in the Moscow region, we will start seeing them, and that should start occurring sometime in the spring. The same is true in Ukraine. Luther has seen a number of children, I think 84, I know 84, in Buffalo. There are about 200 to 300 children that have been evaluated by Luther and Jean in the Great Plains. As far as any studies in South Africa are concerned, we really haven't done anything through the dysmorphology core as far as South Africa is concerned, but would be more than happy to do that when Sandy and Phil contact us about that.
Okay, we are using your dysmorphology checklist, the latest version that you distributed, And when we were last there, I think I and Nat were in touch just to make sure that we had the correct definitions. But we are collecting that data so far.
Okay. And then
I will try to contact you then with a plan for when Jean or Luther or whoever can come to Cape Town and maybe coordinate it with Phil.
Good.
All right. Ken, I think you also have trained some people also, right?
We've trained a lot of people. We've trained people in the Moscow region. We've trained people in Ukraine. We've clearly trained people in South Africa in the past. Gene has trained people in Helsinki. I think that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a significant contribution along the way. So.
Right.
All right. Thank you. Sarah, want to talk neurobehavioral core?
Sure. I've forgotten where we were at the last conference call, but what we're doing, it's the second version of the test administration manual, and that was distributed. We're actually making some changes to that, which is why it still says it's a draft version, and we're hoping to get that to you in October. As we've been testing the first few kids, we've been making a couple administrative decisions in terms of the test administration so that the manual will reflect those. We've also are in the process of creating the test packet, and that'll be distributed in October. The training video, the scoring manual, I think that's everything, and those should all be distributed to you in October. We're waiting on people should be sending us their test administration videos for us to look at prior to their data collection. We've received any of those yet, so we're hoping. I know Phil May is working on that one. He's in South Africa right now, and so we've been working with him, and the Russians and Finns are getting those to us shortly. We're making significant progress, but hopefully by the next conference call we'll have actually a lot more for you all to have. I also want to remind you, if you're not part of the neurobehavioral listserv and you want to be, you should make sure to sign up for that. And I think that's everything.
In line with that, we have a new web person, and hopefully by mid-October, the end of October, everything will be available online for you to download at your convenience. So that's what we've been working on within the administrative core anyway. Our old web person just disappeared. So, but now we have someone who's very good, so hopefully she'll stay and we'll be all right. How about the facial imaging core, Tatiana?
Would you want to present? Because you're the one doing most
of it.
Sure.
We really haven't received any more images from the RSA conference. So we have 17 from Gene. We have 40 from Luther. All of them have been merged together, and genes have been measured, and we have come up with a measuring protocol. Right now we're just waiting on RapidForm. The software is supposed to be getting us some more information because there's some mapping problems when the texture is put on, and the information services is moving at IUPUI, which is one helping us with all of our data, and so right now they're at a standstill until they get moved in, so we're not able to work on trying to get the images to the point where the facial recognition can be done because images aren't of the quality yet.
We also don't have that many controls either. I mean, that's the other big issue.
Yeah, that's an issue that I was going to talk to Osei about, because I know genes are all FAS kids,
yes.
Right?
Oh, I actually can talk about that.
All we've gotten from Gene are 17, and they're all affected. We've only gotten 40 from Luther, and there's a handful that are control.
At RSA, we talked to Osei, because I don't know if you all remember, but came up with that they were going to collect their affected kids first,
yeah,
and then see their controls. And we talked to her, and she went back and talked to her group, and I just received an email about that they're going to incorporate controls into their data collection, so they will be seeing controls interspersed with their affected kids. The
And so hopefully you'll get some images from that.
Yeah, we're going to meet them in next week, and I think that the Finns will be able to send you controls relatively soon. I'll talk with Luther, because I know he was trying to get dysmorphic controls, too.
Critical. I mean, without that, you can't really make any final decisions about what's going on.
Right. The other thing I've been to, at least for the facial recognition, is to try to find a source of high-definition 2D photos they might start on. So.
Well, those photos will all have to go through Andy. As far as I know, they have not set up a way for them to get the data to Andy. They Luther sent me some of them, but I'm not the one that's storing them or taking care of them. That's all supposed to go through Andy's core.
Yeah, and it's too bad that informatics is not online. So.
Do you want me to see if I can email Andy Aronson and get him on?
Yeah, Craig was the one who said he was going to be on. But.
All right, let me email them both, okay?
All right. All right, Elizabeth Sal, you want to bring us up on the brain imaging?
Yeah, we've been doing some phantom scanning, the mechanical phantom. We've scanned it on both the 1.5 Tesla and the 3 Tesla magnets that we have here. And I have some people, computer-type people, working on making a automated sort of computerized pipeline to figure out how to correct the data from the 1.5T to match the 3T. And that will be useful when Sarah and you, I guess, Ed, start collecting your data. I'll be taking the Phantom with me to San Diego in October when I'm there for neuroscience, and Sarah and I are going to try to set up a time in the schedule where we can scan that Phantom to get to start making correction factors there. We have been continuing to analyze archived data in our collaboration with, or in my collaboration with Ed and Sarah. There's a paper that's within days of submission looking at cerebellar morphology. Let's see. I've been working with. I'll actually start collecting data here with different funding on FAS kids. Probably by the end of the year, about the same time that Sarah mentioned she would start collecting data, and we've just submitted another grant focusing on cerebellar functional activation and morphology in FAS.
Thank you. If Craig's not here, that basically is an overview of what's going on, and I think that we can move on in the agenda. I'd like to move point three, which is the integration of projects. I want to see if anyone having any problems in integrating with the cores from the individual project standpoint. I mean, has everyone made contact and been satisfied with what's going on in informatics?
Yeah, it's been great for us from Cape Town. We've got the dysmorphology protocol. You know, we've got a whole system now to transmit the data. It seems to be working excellent.
Okay.
This is Sarah. We've been working with Andy and Dex on just creating our data dictionary for the neurobehavioral core, and that we've had no problems with that.
Well, can we drop back to the dysmorphology core from Cape Town? Joe, you're transmitting that where? To Indianapolis?
Right.
We've seen none of that.
The bioinformatics people developed. We were told it was finalized. I don't know if we actually transmitted data, but I know we had a successful test of transmitting data, so we're confident that we will be able to do it.
Okay.
I have a question about that. This is Sandy. So when we have Nat Coley doing the evaluation, is that okay that would be data at this point that we would transmit?
Yeah, that was the plan.
That's fine. Okay.
Yeah, it's fine, but it's supposed to also come to us here in San Diego.
It may be that it's only been a test, Ken, but I know that that was going to be the first prototypical instrument, and so we were concerned about, whether how doable it was and how straightforward it was. And so we were just very pleased. Andy worked with our data manager, and we're having gone through that test, we're confident that integrating the data into the cores is going to go very smoothly.
Okay.
I'm not sure it's been actual data yet.
All right. I think the reason I'm asking is that I think NIAAA justifiably that this is a consortium, and we need to integrate our projects and not function simply as separate U projects or R01s. And I just want to make sure that people are utilizing the cores if they have a need to, and if there's any problems with that, that we know about it. So if there are things that the cores aren't doing that you feel that they need to do, you need to let me know. And vice versa.
Yeah, I think that as far as the dysmorphology core is going, I think, and I'm speaking now relative to the integration of things, I think that it's going quite well, but I think that there, I would say, my only concern is that some of the projects are not communicating with me to try to set up times when we can arrange trips to look at children. And I worry that this is all going to be done in the last year or something like that. And that obviously would be really bad for us. So I think that there are some places where this is going fantastically, but there are other places that I don't feel like there's much communication going on. And I would specifically say South Africa, I would say Seattle, are two places that I'm particularly concerned about in terms of hearing from you so that we can set up times when we can go there and see kids.
Ken? Why don't I plan to call you like after this visit later this week?
Okay.
Or at the beginning
great.
Of next week and set up something. I think the difficulty is that since it's a, you know, prospective setting, the kids were not recruited like all within 2 or 3 week period.
I understand.
That, you know, we need to probably wait till the second year or at least towards the end of this first year so that we can accrue.
I agree with
the
you.
Group. So why don't we discuss that? Why don't I plan to call you?
Yeah.
I'll email you about what's good times for both of us. And
okay. Before you discuss a date, I have some new information which I'll give. I'll try to give towards the end of the conversation, based on meetings that Phil had in South Africa with some of the key people who support us there. So I'll convey that at the end, but there's some information, and I spoke with him this morning.
The other issue as far as the dysmorphology core is concerned, we need to see the data as it's being collected, and we need to see the data to make sure that there are no discrepancies and to see that things are being entered correctly and make sense. So understand that we, again, this just can't go to Indianapolis. It's got to go to us, too.
All right. Now, so have you informed Luther and Jean about that?
I think Luther and Jean know about that.
All right. So you should have gotten the data from them from the 50-something cases they've seen.
Well, I certainly have not. So maybe that's a problem that I have to talk to them about.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the first we're hearing about this, so we're happy to send it.
Well, I just want to make sure that things are going, if there are things that we can do to enhance that integration, to please email me and let me know. I mean, I don't
Ed?
This is
a facial imaging core?
Yes.
And we would like to see the cameras going to more of these sites.
Well, yeah, but we only have two cameras, and from what I understand, they're still using the one in Finland, and Luther's trying to collect the dysmorphic controls.
Right, but I don't know what's going on with Finland to know when they're going to be done with that, because that camera can go somewhere else. It can go to South Africa or anywhere.
That camera we plan on moving into Russia through the CRDRF, because, I mean, it's close enough that it can be shipped relatively easily. And I think within Russia, they can collect a large number of images in a relatively short amount of time. I think first we have to do is to see whether or not Luther's finished with it. Osei's finished with it. But we got to get some finished controls, or we're going to wind up sending the camera back to Finland.
Right.
So, but we'll know more about that after ISPRA next week.
And who's going to be taking those pictures in Russia?
One of the pediatricians.
And has one of those pediatricians been trained to use that camera?
No, that's we're going to have to send somebody to train them.
Okay.
Maybe Luther.
Okay.
Or Dean.
Yeah, Luther hasn't been taking his own picture. Somebody else has been doing them.
All right, well then, whoever's doing them there, or Gene, who did them, but we will figure that out.
Okay.
Once we can move the camera.
Our thought had been, this is Sandy, that at a time when the dysmorphologists would come, if their pictures are going to be taken, that would probably be most optimal, so have the kids all lined up.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's going to happen, that aspect will happen or not, but if so, that would be the timing.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, that when everyone's lined up so that the camera doesn't
exactly
have for years.
I would like to understand.
I would like to say, because Ken mentioned the wanting to hear from Seattle, that we have to wait until we can get some more money. I mean, there was, you know, on the amount of money we have, we could only do the, you know, the babies. And so that's why where there's a delay up here is we just have to get another $20,000 to try and bring up Ken and do that. And we won't, you know, the deadline is October 15th, and then it'll be probably next winter before we hear whether we get the money, and then we'll have to schedule. So if you want to do this sooner, we'd have to find a different source of funding it.
Well, I think that's something that you and Ken should probably try to take up, you know, at some other time. And
okay.
Because we have a lot we need to get through yet.
Can I just check? Craig, are you on now?
Yes, that's me. Sorry, I have been battling multiple fires all day, so my apologies for dialing in late.
Okay. Do you want to give us any update on the informatics?
And I'm tuning out now. I have to go some. Thank you. Thank you. It was great to hear from you all. Bye-bye.
Craig, do you want to bring us up on the informatics core, if you have any updates?
Sure. Here's sort of the short update. And basically, the dysmorphology, we've got the access input tool distributed. We are setting up space on our web server, but we're basically cooking with gas there. Neurobehavior, we are waiting for answers to some outstanding questions about the data dictionary, I believe. Alcohol and control variables is essentially the same status, different people, but we're still working on the data dictionary and waiting for some answers to questions about details of the data dictionary.
This is Sandy. I spoke with Tina earlier this week, and she emailed me, and I have the final answers for a lot of what was left up that she needed to know, and I can probably email that within the next day.
Or it would be nice if we could move that to final answers for all the questions.
Just
well.
The alcohol ones.
You know, essentially everything else we're sort of in hold mode. In particular, ultrasound still, I believe, is waiting for, you know, some decision from the executive committee. We're basically, I think, sort of cooking along. You know, I remember from Vancouver, the first part of the project plan for this academic year was hire somebody to get all caught up. We've got, you know, we've had Dex on board since just after the meeting, and we're pretty well, I think, closing in on being caught up. And where we stand right now, the key limiting factors are simply getting the details on the data dictionary. So I think we're essentially back on track.
Craig, I have a question. This is Joe Jacobson.
Sure.
When we send the disc morphology data to Indianapolis, is there a mechanism that Ken Jones can access it directly, or do we have to send it to him as well?
We can set up a way that he can access it directly.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Well, we're coming to the, you know, we've got about 15 minutes left for the call, and we have a number of things to get through. Is this a good time to have a monthly conference call?
It's not good for me until 2:15. I mean, you know, 15 minutes later would be fine.
All right. Everybody else comfortable with this time?
In general, it's okay with me. I just had a glitch today, but in general, it's a good time for me.
All right, so we're going to make it the fourth Thursday of every month at 11:15 California time. Or no, well, yeah, 11.
So you're going to run into Thanksgiving, Ed.
We'll have it on the third Thursday in November.
Thank you.
All right, so that's what it is, and it's, we're going to use this call-in system. And if you can make it, great. If you can't make it, you can submit something in writing. And we'll just leave it at that, okay?
Would you have Madre send out reminders of this?
Yeah, she will. And she'll do it before each call, too. We had scheduled a in-person meeting for January 7th and 8th, and that started to create some conflicts with some people, I believe. How are people feeling about that? And you know, originally we were supposed to meet once a year and have a steering committee meeting once a year. And now we have the everybody is on the steering committee, so in essence we have to meet twice. And we're trying to find a time, and it has not been an easy thing to do. So. We'll be sending out something to try to get some available dates for January and for February, early February. All right, so you can expect to see that in the next week or two. All right, we'll probably wait till after ISPR is over, and then we'll try to arrive at dates when we could get together in a locale where we can meet. All right. Ken, do you want to, or Deidre, you want to say anything, or Lori, about NIAAA and the interactions consortium?
Yeah, I guess I'll start. I'll say this: this has been very useful. Unfortunately, due to a technical glitch, we were not on the last conference call, so we have not heard any of these updates since June. I think we were the 11th party in the conference call would only take 10. So I think that this is very useful and in terms of our staying on top of it. Again, this is very different than an R01. And I've said this before, and I'm just going to say it again. Because it's a co-op, we do need to have much more frequent updates of information in terms of progress, in terms of knowing if the project's going well, if they're encountering glitches, and certainly feel free to contact us, including the project officer, and that's Deidre Rhodes, on any issues that do come up. I was going to go ahead and just add that I had spoken with Phil May this morning, and I won't give a progress report for him. I'll leave that to him because he only got some information from him anyway, although he said things are going very well both in terms of Italy and in terms of South Africa and the projects they have going there. However, what I wanted to do is to convey information to individuals who are planning trips and projects in South Africa that, as you know, our work over there involves the good graces of at least two different universities, University of Cape Town and Stellenbosch University, and the Department of Health and the Department of Education of the government of the Western Cape. They spoke to him about us having presentation for the Western Cape on the, let me check the dates here. I think it's March 18th and 19th. I just misplaced the note that had those two dates on it, of this year. So I wanted to give people an advanced indication of it. My understanding is that they're interested in the full array of alcohol and pregnancy studies that we've been supporting. Sandy and Joe, I wanted you to have that information as well.
Thank you.
Okay, and that may mean that may be a timely point in time for various research activities to actually work around those dates. My understanding is that it will be a presentation to which many individuals will be invited from academia as well as from the government and the local community to be held at a facility that the UCT now has on the waterfront in Cape Town. The dates that I have is March 18, 19th. It should be a Thursday, Friday, but it has a calendar. So when you have your discussions with Ken about a good time to go over or any other planning or any of the projects, that is something to keep in mind. That's all that I have.
All right. Do you want to some of the other things about funding new projects or projects that are currently underfunded because of devaluations of the dollar?
I had spoken with Ed before because and got some information. We on a number of projects, not just in this, not just in CFAS, but other international projects that we've have going. As you know, the dollar has been falling against other currencies. One of the issues that we have is that we are not permitted. This is policy of the of DHHS. We cannot make a fund adjustment or an award adjustment based upon a change in exchange rates. We will have to think about some clever ways. Sandy, I know we're going to have to speak to you about this. And I think we're going to have to talk to some other. It's probably affecting just about every study we have, except in Moscow and the Ukraine. And for all I know, the dollar's falling again to the ruble too.
Not luckily.
Well, it certainly has fallen against the euro. We're fortunate in that Phil's project in Italy had a substantial contribution from the Italian government, so that their contribution went up as ours went down because of the exchange rates. The situation in Finland is on the euro, so I anticipate we may have some issues there too. Sarah, is that true?
Yes, they've already in June they already had mentioned that they were having difficulty based on the rate of the dollar.
Okay. And of course we're also going into a very tight budget year here, so I don't want to take the full time of the full committee to go over these right now, Ed, unless you wanted to do it on that basis. But we can have conversations, or Deidre or Lori can have conversations with people individually on some of these issues and to see if there's anything that we can do. We're seeing this on virtually all of our international projects where the dollar is falling against foreign currencies. And that for sure is any country that's on the euro, on the pound sterling, or on the rand. And at this stage, the rand is the fastest growing currency compared to the others. And that's probably because it fell the most in past years and it is recovering.
In terms of, there have been other requests for funds, and we're looking into the possibility of using third-year pilot project funds to fund some things sooner. But that's going to still have to be discussed about how that's done. And people who need additional funds can always apply for a competitive supplement.
Yeah.
To try to get it. Now, unfortunately, that delays everything 9 months to a year. But if it's approved. But right now, the funds within the consortium are as tight as they are at NIAAA. So people are going to have to try to get by with what they got, and we'll see how it all comes out later in the year.
Right. I'll just go ahead and add to what Ed said. Clearly, if there is an obvious spin-off project which is coming out or coming to mind based upon progress being made, if it is a new project that wasn't in the original application, it could be submitted as a competitive supplement. Administrative supplements are going to be tight. We will try to handle those that we can, and we'll just have to see where we are in terms of administrative supplements that we can handle for this. But anything in terms of a new component would have to be handled as an administrative supplement. Because we're only, I won't go into the technical reasons why that's the best way to go rather than a new project at this point, until we come around to the renewals of these applications, which we know would be either at the end of the third year or the end of the fourth year. I think that's it. I think I said my piece there.
All right. In terms of, the consortium is getting some notoriety somewhere. I've had inquiries from three investigators in different countries who want to know how they can participate. We've had inquiries from Alaska about how they might be able to participate, as well as Colorado was another place. So I don't know how the word's gotten out there, but we've heard from Poland, Germany, Hong Kong, and last week I was in England. And I don't know if people know Moira Plant or Raj Majorski, not pronouncing that right, but they also expressed an interest in becoming involved in the consortium. And, you just tell them that its funding right now is what we don't have, but that they are encouraged to look to their own governments to try to find some support, and they could still use the protocols being developed within the consortium. So that's where we are, and we're about done with the hour. Are there any new business or any other comments?
Ed, I just wanted to just basically go ahead and add to what you're saying. Because these projects were only awarded for a three-year period and we're starting the second year, even if we extend it into a fourth year, new applications coming in from other investigators would be for a relatively short period of time, because they cannot submit an application that would run longer than these initial applications. So other than that, it would certainly be acceptable for another investigator from outside to submit an application, although one of the factors that's always looked at is that there was some concurrence out of the steering committee, that's all the PIs, that the application is welcome. Hopefully this component will go away, or this program will go ahead and move, or this co-op will go ahead and move in successfully into a will be successful in its own competitive renewal, at which time additional projects could be added. There is a desire within the Institute at all levels that all of the scientific areas have international components here. So we're encouraged by the fact that there are other countries that are interested in coming in.
I've been very surprised. There's just a lot of interest. So are there any other new business? then I want to thank you all for participating, and we'll do this in a month.
Okay. Before everyone hangs up, I'm gonna bring up one other issue.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, and then it'll be. I'm sorry that I forgot a bit, but really quick. If you are publishing anything from this, please let us know ahead of time. Anything out of the co-op. Most of the co-ops have a publications committee where publications go first. This one doesn't, and it's a little different type of co-op than others.
So I think we agreed that we would have one, Ken.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm aware of.
Well, at least for the. I guess that was for data that is multi-site. You're right. For single-site data, we did not say it had to go to the publication committee.
Right. Okay. Multi-site data does. Okay. But even on the single sites, please send us a manuscript as soon as you're submitting the manuscript. We will keep it close to our chest, but we do need to have them.
Does that include abstracts for RSA?
You know, it wouldn't hurt. certainly full papers, but I would say abstracts, too, would be useful.
Who should that be sent to, Ken?
Any one of the three of us here. We'll make sure that it gets to the other one. So either myself, Lori Fowden, or Deidre Roach.
But including basic science.
Everything.
Yeah, including basic science.
Feng Shao mentioned that he has one that's
yeah.
been accepted.
Right,
yeah.
And it should cite the consortium, you know, on it. You know, the grant from the consortium.
Yeah.
All right, because that will help us in our renewal as well, which we'll have to start thinking about in the next few months.
Yeah, I don't know if we ever develop boilerplate language. Most of the co-ops have a boilerplate. Even INIA has a boilerplate, so that everyone cites the study in the same way.
Yeah.
That does help in the competitive renewal because then the reviewers look at it and they can see it.
All right. Well, I will borrow the INIA one and send it out to everybody. So that, and then we can modify that and get it ready for us. All right.
Lori has one last item, too.
Related to the various budget issues, it would be helpful to us if we can get your financial status report from year one as soon as possible. And your grants office has 90 days to do that, but if they can do it sooner, we'd appreciate it and make sure that we get a copy of it.
I raised this issue to you before, Lori. You know, we had some carryover money,
yeah.
And I do want to ask that carryover money be permitted in the next year, and I suspect other groups have the same issue.
Yes, and with these co-ops, you do have to ask permission, which means you have to write a letter to the project officer and request that carryover. That will either be me for the basic science project, but the other projects, Deidre is the project officer. The letter should be signed by you, the PI, and by your business official.
And I will remind the people at NIAAA that we were advised to try to hold over for a four-year grant.
And you need to... I've been told by Grants Management that you have to give us a detailed budget of how that money will be allocated.
Okay.
But once the carryover is approved, you can re-budget. But initially, we have to have the detailed allocation and justification for it.
So with the letter request, you want the detailed budget too?
Yes.
All right. Well, I thank you all, and I'll talk to you whenever, but we'll have another conference call in a month from now.
This is Craig. Ed, my apologies. I know we're trying to get off this call, but I wanted to go back to one thing that I'm not sure I understand where you left it. The January 7th and 8th meeting, are we going to try to go ahead with that, or are we going to iteratively have problems with other dates, or what?
We're going to re-poll for dates and try to find a date when most people can make it. It's now so large that it's become obvious that we're not going to be able to find a date when everyone can be there. So we are going to try to re-poll and get as many people there as possible.
Okay.
Sometime in January.
Do you know where it's going to be, or that's still up in the air?
Pardon, where it's going to be? It's going to be in a very inexpensive place. because money was only budgeted for a steering committee meeting composing of fewer people. And so we're now going to take those funds and stretch them to invite everybody. So it's probably going to be in a cold climate. So maybe we'll meet in Indianapolis again. I don't know. But we'll try to find some dates.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.